Okay, today we're going to learn what I think is one of the most exciting sugyas of Makkos. So I feel like I say that every week, right? This is the most exciting sugya of Makkos. That's the teacher in me. He's always just trying to generate excitement. Vasisa lo kasha, zamun lasas lachem. We only punish him based on what the person wanted to do and not based on what the person did. So let's begin with the Mishnah. And we'll read the Mishnah. It's a fresh Mishnah, then the Gemara, and then we'll get into a lot of the lum this year, which I think is very, very exciting. Says the Mishnah, so we have our case. We have Reuven, who's accused of killing Shimon, comes along Levi and Yehuda. Levi and Yehuda, of course, are witnesses, and they come and accuse Reuven of killing Shimon in New York. Okay? They are then zomified by Yisachar and Zvulun. Levi and Yehuda do not get put to death unless it happens at a very specific moment, this zomification, if that's such a word. Says the Mishnah, zomification. Until the din is completed. So let's say Levi and Yehuda come and testify about Reuven and say he was with us in New York and comes along Yisachar and Zvulun. Buddy, you were with us in Chicago, Levi and Yehuda. You couldn't possibly know that Reuven killed Shimon. If that happens prior to the Gemara Din, prior to the completion of the case, then Levi and Yehuda are off the hook. They don't have to get. Okay? Achi Gemara Din. Shred Stukim Omrin. The Stukim used to come, say the Stukim, who took the Torah literally, they would say, in that case, you possibly would get to, you wouldn't get put to death either. Achi Yeherab. They would say, when do Levi and Yehuda get punished by the death penalty? Only if they put Reuven to death. But if Reuven is still alive, even if it's after the Gemara Din, we still don't kill Levi and Yehuda. Shenemar, why? Because it says nefesh tachas nefesh. Because the pasuk says soul for a soul, like ayin for an eye. They take it literally. Nefesh tachas nefesh. They take it literally. And how do they take it literally? That if Levi and Yehuda come and testify about Reuven that he killed Shimon and Reuven is put to death, then we can put Levi and Yehuda to death. Post Gemara Din, post death of Reuven. Amlam Chacham says the Chacham, Valo Kvar Nemar. But wait, Stez and Pasik, Vasisa Lo Kasher Zamam Lasos. We do to them what they wish to do, what they wanted to do. Very Echiv Kayim, and their brother is still alive. Vim Kain Lama Nomer Nefesh Nefesh. Why does it say soul for a soul? What is that telling us? You would say that perhaps we kill Levi and Yehuda immediately after the testimony. We learned tefesh tachas nefesh. We don't put Levi and Yehuda to death up until they complete the din. So we have an irony here. We have an irony, which we'll see shortly, that post Gemara Din, Levi and Yehuda get put to death. Had Reuven been killed already by the Beis Din, Levi and Yehuda somehow are going to get off the hook. The Gemara is going to spell that out. Pre-Gemara Din, everybody agrees that Levi and Yehuda do not get punished. Says the Gemara. A little bit in the Gemara, and then we'll spend most of the day on Lamdas. Tana Biribi Omer. Lo Hargu. Ironic. Lo Hargu. If Levi and Yehuda merely testify about Reuven, and they're unsuccessful because they are zomified prior to the Reuven being put to death, Neherogin. Then they get put to death, Levi and Yehuda. Hargu, but if they do kill Reuven, ain't Neherogin. Then Levi and Yehuda are not put to death. So we have a shtickel of an irony. When Levi and Yehuda are successful, they get off the hook. When they're unsuccessful, they get put to death. So the Gemara, Amar Abai, Bini, Lav Kal V'Chomer Hu. I apologize. Bini, Lav Kal V'Chomer Hu. Is this not a Kal V'Chomer? What's the Kal V'Chomer? Meaning, what's the Kal V'Chomer? If what? They were unsuccessful, they got to put to death. Surely, if they're successful, they should be put to death. So now we have the famous, famous principle, which is probably next week's shir. We just have to know what it means right now on a Bekiyas level. Amar lo limadu to Rabbeinu, we learned, ein onshin min hadin. We do not punish based on a kal v'chomer. If you tell your kid, if you don't take out the garbage, you're going to get beat. and they make a mess, you can't beat them. Why not? Because you only warn them what? That not take out the garbage. So kal v'chomer, if you don't take out the garbage, if you make garbage, of course you're going to be beat. Ein on shemin adin. We don't punish based on a kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer, the punishment has to be written in the pasuk. Okay? So that's the introduction. The Gemara is the introduction. Now we're going to really delve deep and hopefully try to iron a little bit as to why this is so. So what's the source? What's the source for this halacha of hargo, once they kill, ein neharagim? So if you look at the Rashi, Rashi is a very cryptic Rashi, but based on this Rashi, we're going to develop an idea. The Rashi is Dibur Amaschil Lasos La'achav, what he did to his brother. Okay? So remember, the halacha is, if Levi and Yehuda put Reuven to death, Levi and Yehuda are off the hook. Okay? Lasos La'achav, says Rashi, Mashma Shrei Echav Achiv Adayin Kayim. It appears he's only called his brother while he's still alive. What's the pasuk? The pasuk is, what's the pasuk? The pasuk says in the complete, in the, I'm not a Baal Kori, right? So always got to look these things up. The pasuk is, it says, kasher zamum le'achav. What you wanted to do to your brother. Now, let's say Reuben's already dead. His status as a brother is gone. Therefore, the whole pasuk of Kasher Zomim is gone. Therefore, says Rashi, there's no punishment.
Rashi didn't make this up. It's a direct quote from the Mishnah.
Similar quote. But you could learn the Mishnah in another way. How do you learn the Mishnah? What does the Mishnah say? V'harayach of Kayim. So V'harayach of Kayim. But you don't have to learn it out directly from the pasuk. That could mean he's still alive. But he's saying, what Rashi's adding is, if he's dead, he's not called your brother. Just because if he's alive, he's your brother, doesn't mean if he's dead, he's not your brother. That's what Rashi took to the next level. I think it's a fair point. I think, I'm not sure that, again, I don't want to say Chas V'Shalom against Rashi, but Yibum is a right against Rashi, no? Reuven dies childless, who's got to do Yibum? Shimon. If it's not his brother, then what's he doing Yibum for? There's an Isser. That's a different kind of brother. That's not the brother of this. That's right. Not the brother of Achdus, which is what we're talking about here. Okay, but Rashi is bringing this down, and Rashi is saying Achiv Adayin Kayim. The Pirei Yeshua, which you have in front of you, he develops Rashi. So he quotes Rashi. The first line he just quotes Rashi, and then second line he starts as follows: Upeidish Rashi Lasos LaAchiv Mashma Shrei Achiv Adayin Kayim. That's Rashi. Ulechora Mashma. And l'chora, at first glance, it appears the covetous Rashi is that the intent of Rashi in this lafuki to exclude shem hargu ein neharagin, the case of if you kill, you don't get killed. V'lashon sherei shekasa Rashi mashmakein, and the implication of Rashi implies like that. The davka kamar, he says it specifically. V'daiki chacham l'ach milsim yutara de la'achav, and the chachamim darshan, because the word achiv in the pasuk seemingly was unnecessarily. What's Achiv there for? Achiv is there to exclude it. That only if he's still alive, Reuven, would one get the punishment of Zomim. Okay? It says, De'ilash minen dafilo hargu neharagin. Because if it's coming to teach us that if you don't kill Reuven, you get killed, lishtok minen. Be quiet. Just simply be quiet. And we'll know that Reuven, Levi and Yehuda will get killed. Kasher zomim l'chud mafka. That we learn out from the words kasher zomim, what he wanted to do. So what is that? If it's not coming to tell me, like the Mishnah seemingly says, like you wanted to say, that if he's still alive, we kill him. So now the Rashi is extending it, that if he's not alive, if Reuven's not alive, we do in fact not kill Levi and Yehuda. Okay. That's the Pnei Yeshua. Let's move on to the Rambam. Because the Rambam is going to say something so interesting, and I was intentionally going to give an answer, I'm going to wait until the end to give the answer. The Rambam in Perachof Halacha Beis, right, you have it in front of you. He's going to say something which at first glance is a little bit tricky. Remember, we have a halacha. What's the normal halacha of Eid Zomim? We do to the Eidim what they wanted to do to Reuven, right? Whatever Levi and Yehuda were testifying against Reuven, that's what we do to Levi and Yehuda. Okay? And then the next theory, which is what we've developed today, is if they were successful in doing it to Reuven, Levi and Yehuda don't get it. Is that true in all cases? Well, the Rambam says, Ne'erodze, Shehidu Olav. We kill the person, let's say the person who was testified about, Aruvein, was killed. V'yachaka chuzmu, and then we turned out Levi and Yehuda were in Chicago. Ein ne'erogim min hadin. They don't get killed min hadin. They don't get killed, well, v'chayra from the Kal v'chomer of sorts, right? Shenemar kasher zmlasos, because we only do to them what they wanted to do. V'adayin lo'asa, and this thing wasn't done yet. V'davar zeh mipia Kabbalah, this is from Kabbalah, not the Kabbalah that Madonna learns, but the Kabbalah of the Nevi'im, etc., of the Masorah. Okay. Aval, im laka. But if he gets lashed, let's say Reuven gets lashed based on the testimony of Levi and Yehuda. Zeshidu alav lokin. We do daka, we do give Malkus to whom? To Levi and Yehuda. V'chein, and similarly, im yotza hamam in miyadzeh liyadzeh. Similarly, if money exchanges and Reuven now pays Shimon based on the testimony of Levi and Yehuda from him to him, Chozer lebailov umeshalmin lo, we return the money from Shimon to Reuven, and Levi and Yehuda got to give Reuven. So who's the big winner here? Reuven, because Reuven now got double the amount of money he started with. Very good. Says the Ravid, shibashuzeh. This is a mistake. Can't be. What about the loch of kasher zamen lo? Says v'lo kasher zamen v'lo kasher osa. Like you wanted to do, not like you did. Oh.
So the Rambam's learning Rashi.
So the Rambam's learning Rashi. Do explain. Say
to
Pnei Yoshua.
It's limited to Nefesh.
Why?
Because the Achiv is only...
Oh! Zezok to Pnei Yoshua. Very good. Like this. If you say the derivative, if you say the halacha is coming from the words Achiv, from my brother... If you say that the word Achiv is coming from my brother... And therefore, I don't get the punishment that I wanted to do because it's only when I did it to my brother. And the exemption is because he's not my brother anymore because he's dead. Guess what? That only applies when he is dead. But in a money case, in a lashes case. People say that, but there is a big difference in Malik Tala, Malik. The difference is he's alive or he's dead. You're right.
He still retains the status of Achiv.
Yeah. In the capital world versus the mumminous world, you know, like we have differences in the American legal system between civil cases and criminal cases. So, yeah, Malkus would be in the criminal side, not in the civil side. With that being said, technically he's still my brother because he's alive. We don't have to read the Pnei Yoshua because you're Makavi to the Pnei Yoshua. Okay. So we have theory number one. Theory number one is the reason why one gets off the hook after the punishment has been delivered is because it's based on the exemption of the word achiv, that you only give eidim zomim punishments to somebody who punished a brother, and here he's no longer considered a brother. The Ritva says, okay, you have the Ritva in front of you. I'm not sure what, you should have it. What is on page two? Again, I always use different sheets. I always like to say I have the teacher's edition, you know, with my notes in there. So I take out my notes because otherwise, what do you need me for? Says the Ritva, Tanan, Tanya, Ein Eidim Zomim Neharogin. The Eidim Zomim are not killed Ad Shigmar Adin until the din is completed. Ad Valoy Kfar Nemer, because it says in Pasuk, Vasi Salo Kasher Zomim, because I do to them what they wanted to do. Very Achiv Kayim, and the brother is still alive. Lav Dinafgalon Midichsiv LaAchiv. Don't say like Rashi. Jumps in right away. Ritva's not, you know, he's throwing down the gloves right away. He's not waiting to give a little hamdam. He's dropping the gloves. No, it's not because it doesn't say achiv. Tavadei shabir mikri achiv afil lachamisa. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain says that about Hevel after Hevel's dead. He's still a brother. You're still a brother after somebody's dead. We are part of the great nation, dead, alive. The neshamas extend beyond it. Right, it's called the brother after that. So you can't say that the exemption of...
Well, he was implying that his brother's still alive in that case.
Very good. Meaning maybe he was trying to delude Hashem. He's still my brother. Very good. Very good. And the brothers, Yosef and his brothers, they always refer to Yosef as the brother. You've got to do a simple search, right? Where brother? Where's the term used? Very interesting. Anyway, Ugdiksiv l'hakim l'achim shem b'Yisrael. I brought a rye from you, right? I knew the ritual. I wasn't like making it up on my own. Ugdiksiv. Other psukim which talk about brothers being, you raise him up after he's dead. Rather, what's the derivation of this halacha? Kasher zama. The pasuk says what you wanted to do. When do we punish Levi and Yehuda? When he did, when he wanted to do something. V'she'ein on shemin adin. And also, there's a halacha that we don't punish based on a kal v'chomer. That's the second thing. Aval mela achiv lo nafka lo nidi. We learn garnished. We learn nothing. The derivation is because the pasuk says kasher zomam. He's called an eid zomim. And eid zomim is only what he wanted to do. So once Levi and Yehuda have put Reuven to death, he didn't want to do it. He actually did it, and therefore they're off the hook. You want to say kal v'chomer? Ain onshin min hadin. We don't punish from a kal v'chomer. We have machlokas ritva rashi. We'll see how that plays out. Okay, that's number two. So we did the Gemara, we did the Mishnah, we discussed the source. Now we got a little taste of this in the Rambam. What about this halacha of hargu ein neharagin? Does it apply to other cases? For example, in Mamun and Malkus. So we have three sheets. We have the Ritva, we have a Tosas in Baba Kama, and we have the Rambam. And we're going to give Hezberim for all of them in Yirtz Hashem, and then we'll go get donuts. Or we'll call it a day. I'm trying to stay away from donuts. I didn't know this, but in New York City, there's a new law. I was in a New York City Dunkin' Donuts last Sunday. I had two Levi's back-to-back. Hashem smiled. I hate to say this, but like it was a bad day for everybody, but I had a Levi at 11 and a Levi at 1 in the same place. So I got. So afterwards, I was tired. I went for a coffee. And you look up at the thing, and they tell you the calories of the donuts. Like, that cannot be good for business. But, you know, whatever it is. And in the five towns, they don't have it. So don't invest in Dunkin' Donuts in New York City. You're going to do it outside of New York City. Okay.
I don't have it. I didn't know that.
No. It's a New York City rule, apparently.
Really?
I just found out last week. So, like, could you imagine 500 calories on a bagel with two? Not worth it.
Long Island, New York City.
Okay. Says the Ritva. Teda. Shrei lo asu maisa min harogin. You haven't done an action, and you get killed. This is a Ritva back on Beis Amid Beis. Okay, perish. Lav mishum deleika be'edusan el adibar be'alma. You might say like this. Oh, you don't get punished because it's what's called a lav she'en b'maisa. It's normally, in order to get lashes, right, you have to violate a negative commandment that comes with an action. For example, lo sachson, right, you have to put a muzzle on, you don't put a muzzle on. You have to do an action. Lo sirtzach, you don't murder, you murder. You know what I'm saying? You have to violate the negative commandment. Passively or with words might not be enough. Okay, anyway. Side put. Don't say that. V'naragim medina v'lo mishum knasa. But you get killed as a din and not as a knas. Kanira chaser kan v'ulai. Sarach lomar. You might have to say demegadef, one who curses out Hashkadosh Baruch Hu. V'omer Eliata, you're my God. Nami dibor bi'alma kamar v'naragim. We see other cases where there's dibor and you get killed. For example, megadef, where you curse out Hashkadosh Baruch Hu. El hachi ba'ilamem. This is what I meant to say. Shelo asu maisa, you didn't do an action sheyazik lazeh that damaged the other person. Shrei huzmu, all you wanted to do was what? You wanted to do it, but you were unsuccessful. Vinis batla edusan, but your edus became nullified, right? Levi and Yehuda came to testify about Reuven, but came along Yisachar Zvulun and rejected Levi and Yehuda because they said, how could Levi and Yehuda know about Reuven in New York City when you're with us in Chicago? So their edus is nizbatlo, it's gone. The afal pikein, and even so, even though their edus is gone, neheragin, we kill Levi and Yehuda. We do them what they wanted to do and not what they did. He says this is the same thing when it comes to money. We see the money is in the hands of the original owner. Reuven has not yet paid Shimon, right? In a monetary case, they haven't paid to Shimon anything based on their testimony. Because they were zombified before the payment was made from Reuven to Shimon. The afalp. Even though there may be a payment after Reuven gives the money to Shimon, says, since that even though Reuven has not yet paid Shimon, and still the Adam Zom has to pay Reuven, he's calling it a knas. But what do you see from here, Clark, according to the Ritva? That even though that the halacha of Adam Zomimin applies by money. Oh, but then he says, wait. But wait, that's not the case we're talking about. What are we talking about? Let's say Reuven paid Shimon. Would then Levi and Yehuda have to pay Reuven? Comes the Ritva, he says, let's say Reuven did pay Shimon before Levi and Yehuda became zomified. V'acharkach huzmu, and then they became zomified, Levin Yehuda. Das Rabbeinu HaRamban. The Ramban comes from Mishalma, they do pay. But not from the rules of Edim Zomamin, because you wouldn't have to pay. But what's called Dina Degarmi. What's Dina Degarmi? That's about four shur. But in one word, I'll say like this. It's called whenever you bury Hezekah. You didn't do the damage, but you caused the damage to certainly happen. The classic case of bury Hezekah is I say to my neighbor, throw the glass down from the window, I'll catch it. And he throws it, and I intentionally go like this. And the glass hits the ground and breaks. That's Garmi. I didn't damage the glass. But because of me, the glass broke.
I caused it.
That's Garmi. So I'm Chayav al Garmi. Says here, me making Reuven pay Shimon the money, I have to pay Reuven. Not because of the world of Edom Zomim, because that's a din of Garmi. But in the world of Edom Zomim, I'm exempt. For example, if a judge intentionally rules in Shimon's favor when really Reuven should have won, the judge has to pay back because it was the judge's fault. I mean, he's got to pay the Dina Degarmi, the judge. When do we say the Dina Degarmi happens? When does Levin Yud have to pay Reuven? Only if the money is no longer in Shimon's possession. Because Shimon went to the track and spent his money and it's all gone. But let's say Shimon still has the money. Hader, he returns it to Reuven. Deshaloi kedin shakli, because he took it inappropriately. And since Shimon has returned the money to Reuven, ain kan tashlumen al edim. Levi and Yehuda are then off the hook. Dehaleka dina degarmi, because there's no dina degarmi and there's no edim zom. So we see very clear, according to the Ritzvah, this halacha of money, Edom Zomim applies as well. That once Reuven has paid Shimon, we say the principle of Kasha Zomim Velo Kasha Asa, and therefore it comes out now that according to the Ritzvah, by money cases, we say very clear black on white that once it's been done, Edom Zomim doesn't apply. So we see according to the Ritzvah, he disagrees. He's the first opinion that this rule applies in all cases. Okay? Let's go to Shittas Tosfos. Shittas Tosfos, Baba Kama. I don't know if you have to turn the page. I'm not sure. Daf Dalet, I'm based. Again, I told you I have the teacher's edition. What page are we up to in the non-teacher's? Page 3. Top of page 3. Okay. Remember, we're trying to figure out, once it's been done, do you do it to the Edom Zomim? The Edom Zomim. So Tosfos, Baba Kama, Dalet, I'm based. Perish Riva, Dafilu Shilem, Alpia Edom. Zomin. Let's say Reuven pays Shimon based on the Edom Zomin. Chayovin. The Edom Zomin still have to step up. They still got to pay against the Ritva. Delo Shayach b'mamon kasher zomer v'loy kasher asa. This principle of kasher zomer v'loy kasher asa does not apply by money. Why? Reason number one on the board. Dafshir b'chazar. Because even though Reuven paid Shimon the money, Shimon could always give it back. So kasher asa, the way he's saying it, has to be final.
Irreversible.
You know, like, what was that show? With the game show, Final Answer? Mm. Right. Once you could always give 100 answers, but until you said Final Answer, it was reversed. You could always go back, and Nachum will say it again. Take a lifeline twice, whatever it was, right? Once you're dead, you're dead. There's no coming back from the dead. But money could always go back, Shimon to Reuven. And therefore, the Edom Zomim, we say the principle of kasher asa v'lo kasher zom, or kasher zom v'lo kasher asa, that doesn't apply to money, because money's fungible. What is the term money in Hebrew? Zuz. What does zuz mean? It goes and comes. It's always there, you know. You make a dollar today, you lose a dollar tomorrow, it's always going and coming. Yeah, question.
The problem is, more rejected this by saying, Shimon Adin. See, this only makes sense.
Let's get to the reason to talk about that. Did you read the re?
No.
Oh, see, you got to read the re. Viri, he doesn't hold it that obviously. Viri mefarish the low circle high time at the gabi mamun mechayv and luhuba kavachomer. What about money portion by kavachomer? If you wanted to lose, make cause Reuven a loss of money, avada if he lost money, you have to pay him back. Be kavachomer, the gabi mamun own shimin adin. Does that answer your question?
By money,
we say own shimin adin. That's next week's year. My chavrusa this morning asked me that same question. I said, that's a whole sugya of own shimin adin. So in the second answer of the Ri, he says, this principle of Ein Onshin Min HaDin is only true by capital cases. When it comes to monetary cases, we do say Onshin Min HaDin. So now, Kal V'chomer, if you wanted to cause Reuven a loss of money, you didn't cause him a loss of money, I have to pay him. Then surely in a case when Reuven did lose money, I have to pay him back. Kal V'chomer stands. Because the Kal V'chomer, by monetary cases, hold on. So he says, Onshin Min HaDin. You're saying, who says?
Here's a problem. They agree with the Ritva, but for a different reason.
You?
Because the Ritva, it's not even an onish. It's you cause the guy a loss by Garmi, so you have to pay him back.
So Ritva's saying it's not in the world of Zoma.
He's saying this is an onish for Kasha Zoma, according to Tosfos.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's within the world of Zoma.
But how do you call it? Knas is usually something where you, like, it's a fine.
The Ritva's saying it's not a Dinei Edim Zoma. This is saying it's a din in Adam's Zoma.
But where's the knas?
It's not a knas.
Exactly,
it's a din. It's a din.
You cause a loss
because Shimon also has to give Reuven back. So there's the knas. Because now Reuven's walking away the winner.
So why is from the Baal Din and from the
Yeah? Because why should Shimon keep the money for no reason? That's the chiddush.
What if you spent it?
But then the Kal V'chomer is not there. Right. So there's a couple different ways. You have a couple of things. You can make the decision money and lashes. We say Ein Onshin Min HaDin by Malchus. And Malchus can't be returned. Right? Malchus for sure can't be returned. So it comes out according to Tosus. This halacha does apply by Malchus. According to Tosus, what would not say, Kasher Zomim, Veloy Kasher Zomim, and by Malchus we would say the principle of Kasher Zomim, Veloy Kasher Asa. Because money, you can't, lashes, you can't return, right? Let's say Reuven's caused lashes by Shimon and Levi, by Levi and Yehuda. You can't give them back. And also, Ein Onshin Min HaDin applies by Malchus. It applies by criminal cases, not by civil cases. So you're saying, what if Shimon has the money? So that would be a nafgamina between the Riva and the Ri. Where according to the Riva, if you have the money, so Shimon give it back, right? But what if you don't have the money? So then it would come out, it sounds like it comes out according to the Riva, that the Edim Zoma would have to pay Reuven back. The reason why they don't have to pay Reuven is because Shimon gave them money. But let's say Shimon can't. Sounds like, but not like the Ritva. The Ritva says Knas, but he would say it Alts Edim Zom. That's fascinating. Okay? Now let's go back to the Rambam. Okay? Then we'll get to them. We'll do something very different today. We're going to do a little hashkaf as to why this principle exists. We haven't discussed it, right? You're probably wondering why. It doesn't make any sense. If a guy did something bad, punish him. Okay? The Rambam, we saw this Rambam already. The Rambam says that this halacha only applies by Misa, and he says it doesn't apply by Makis and by Mammon. Again, the Tosa says it applies by Misa and Makis and not by Mammon, and he's saying it applies by Misa and not by Makis and Mammon. So what's the theory of this? That's the Rambam. Okay, if we want to read the Rambam again. So, and the first theory we said was because Achiv. Once he's dead, he's no longer called my brother. Since he's not called my brother, the din of Eid Zomim doesn't apply. The Kesef Mishnah says something different. The Kesef Mishnah, Sarich Levakish Tami, Nayin Lola Rabbeinu Lechalik Ben Misa Lamamin Umalkas. Where does the Rambam come up with the idea to distinguish between punishing somebody by death versus punishing somebody by Malchus and Mammon? There's no distinction in the principle of Eid Zomim. Omisa, Bekulu, Be'in, Kasher Zomim, V'lo Kasher Asa. You always need to do what you wanted to do. Skip to the underlined part. It says, V'efshel Aseh Tam. Perhaps we can give a reason to the Rabbeinu. De Lo Amrinan Kasher Zomim. We don't say Kasher Zomim, V'lo Kasher Asa. El Ahechet Dehargu Alpia, Mishum Degadol Onshim Min Soa. Ain Roy Lases Lahamisa's Basin, Shetechaper Aleim. Beautiful. We don't want to give the Adim the atonement. We're not punishing the Adim Zomim by not putting them to death. That is the ultimate punishment. When Levi Yehuda put Reuven to death because of their false testimony, we don't then punish Levi Yehuda. And the reason why we don't punish Levi Yehuda is because we don't want to give Levi and Yehuda the opportunity for kapara. We don't want to give them atonement. Wow.
They don't want to, they can't.
We don't want to give it to
them.
He says, Ein roi. Ein roi. I hear you the way. El roi la'anichem she'enidu. We want them to be, you know, in cherem. Acher misa ba'onshem. No roi. With their terrible punishment. The dugma l'davar nosen kol zara l'molech. She'u potter. Masha'en kein bil kol p'yedusim. Like similar to, he says, if you give your children over to the avodah zara of molech, you don't get killed. That's answer number one, the Kesef Mishnah says. Answer number two, the Kesef Mishnah says. Kesef Mishnah is a commentary in the Rambam. 300 years later. Vod yesh lomar tam acher. Shemacher she'aleihem nitzav be'edus. After they come and they give edus, be'edus kel, iulei she'yechayiv zeh misa, lo yaminyecha kodesh baruch hu she'ta'a b'nefesh achas mi'yisrael. Ooh! Had Reuven not really deserved to die, kodesh baruch wouldn't have allowed it. Must be Reuven's a really bad guy. And Reuven, so what's a case like this, right? We all know the world famous case. Right, I think they learned this one in like second grade because this is something every kid knows. Right, only things you learn before fourth grade. And it's like Avram went into the Kivshon Ha'esh with Charon, you know, over there, and Aaron survived. Nimrod put him in the Kivshon Ha'esh. Where's that story in Chumash? It's not, but every kid knows it. Why? Because they learned it before third grade. Klal, anything you learn before third grade, you know, they know. So we should teach them Gan Shas, and then you know the rest of the year do nursery rhymes with them because that's what they know. But everybody knows the famous story. What's the story I'm referencing? You have two guys. One's accused. One should be have put to death in Beis Din. He murdered somebody, but no witnesses. Another guy killed Bishogeg, but nobody saw it. So Kadosh Baruch Hu arranged that the guy who killed Bishogeg should be on top of a roof, and the guy who killed intentionally should be on the bottom. The guy who killed in public, the guy who killed unintentionally will fall off the roof onto the guy who killed intentionally, killing the guy who killed intentionally, unintentionally, and everybody will see, and then he'll have to go to Golis. So Kadosh Baruch Hu arranges for everything. So here also.
Here's a problem.
Here also, let me just develop this. Here also, the only way Reuven died is because Reuven must have really deserved death. So therefore, we don't punish Levi and Yehuda. So you're saying, I knew, but Levi and Yehuda should still get punished.
No, listen, the Rambam himself would never, he's giving a reason to the Rambam. He doesn't even have access to the Lord of Ruchim, but the Rambam himself would never say something like this.
It's very unusual.
It's against his worldview.
It's very against the halachic legal system. We don't bring philosophy into the halachic system.
Right.
Halachically, we work in one plane, and philosophically, there's another plane.
Right, never the twice. Philosophical.
Very, very, very difficult.
The Rambam's worldview, the world doesn't work like that according to the Rambam.
But what it could be is you might want to add something is like it's ma'akar to Beis, and let's see a little bit weiter. He says ma'akar she'niyach hakadosh baruch hu leBeis and she'askimu. After Beis agrees la'arog hazeh v'nerog chayav misa haya hilchach ein le'edim mishpat mavis ma she'ein lomar kein b'mal. It's hard. It's hard. So we need to be saved. So we need a good litvisha lamdin, and that's what we call in the great Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, I could spend 2 shiurim on this Reb Chaim. It's a beautiful, beautiful Reb Chaim. If you ever learn Reb Chaim, one year maybe my project will be just to learn Reb Chaim's, because you know in terms of the brisker lamdis, who introduced all this was Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim teaches us how to learn. So we're only going to read the underlying parts. I made it that it's nice, but if you want to read on your own time, take it out. It's good homework to do. But it's a beautiful, beautiful Reb Chaim that explains this Rambam, where he explains what is murder versus Malkus. V'nir lomar, teremetzinu gabi Malkus deba'in in davka shiloko b'fnei Beis. There's a special principle by Malkus that it has to be in Beis. For example, if you're Chayv Malkus and I just take you out back and I whack you, that's nothing. That's not Malkus. Malkus has to be done where there, it's done in court, where the judge says, hit him, and there's a whole process. Next underline. The Holy Kodesh Malkus Kiyum Hu Rak Bifnei Bezin. Next underline. V'imokul Shalom Bifnei Bezin Ein Zeh Malkus Klal V'lo Mifter B'Hachi. If I take him out back and I hit him, it's garnished. It's nothing. Right? It's got to be done in a system. Vim Kein Ha'igla Milsa, it's klar, this thing. D'ma Shalokeh Ein Bezeh Din Malkus. The fact that these Edim Zomri, that Reuven got Malkus, that wasn't really Malkus. That was just a couple of guys whacking him. Because it wasn't in the context of Beis Din. V'lo chashiv su'aseh. Came to have you kimocha v'alas ba'alma. It's merely, you know, Tony hitting him outside. You know, it wasn't like, it's got to be Malkus for that to happen. It has to be in the context of Beis Din. Tony hitting him is not it. Avalo shoku b'din Malkus. And Malkus is not at all like Misa and Mammon. When it came to Reuven paying back Shimon, it doesn't have to be in Beis Din. And it comes to Reuven getting killed, it doesn't happen in Beis Din. Matter of fact, we do take him out back and we throw him off a roof of sorts. Next paragraph. Venira. This is how Malkus differentiates from Misa Mammon. When it comes to the Chiyuv of Misa and Mammon, Ein Achiyuv El Chayvo B'Mammon. The only Chiyuv is to make sure that Reuven pays, or to make sure that Reuven is killed. As opposed to the Chiyuv of Malkus, Etzem Achiyuv Majve Leila Malkus Shei Nechshev Es Malkus. The Malkus has to be called Malkus. So now. Yeah. Context of Beis Din also. But there might be a little bit.
The Omesh has to be delivered by
Beis Din. But he's saying that's only Malkus. So now, regarding the halacha of Kasher Zomim, Velo Kasher Asa, is the exemption because the punishment was given out? Is that the exemption? Or, once the punishment has been given out, right? Not the notion of Zamam Lasos is gone. And since Zamam Lasos is gone, there is no longer is a punishment to give out to the Zomim. So if we say, because the Zamam Lasos is gone, then the Ravid is correct. Then the Ravid is correct, because it's only that Zamam Lasos, it's not only that he wanted to do it, he actually did it. But if we say that the execution of Beis Din has been carried out. The execution of Beis Din has not been carried out vis-a-vis Malkus. Why not? Because it was a farce. It was Tony hitting him. It wasn't Beis Din. And if you skip to the underlying part, right? The Rambam Sover, three lines from the bottom. The Havyan Tredinim. There's two ideas here. The Bechiyuv de Kasha Zomim. The Chiyuv of that Levi and Yehuda only get punished if they wanted to do something, and not if they did something. Azlin and Basar Edusan, Kemosha Haisa Emes. It goes based on the truth of their testimony. Inyan Haptur, but vis-a-vis the exemption, Daseh, Ba'inan Ase Mamash. It has to be actually done. It has to be carried out in a court of law. V'alkein b'malkus, D'lo Naseh Malkus Mamash. It really wasn't Malkus. When Reuven got hit in Beis Din, it was a farce. It was a fake. It was Ki'ilu Tony did it. It's very good that it's only what you wanted to do and not what you did. And therefore, even though Reuven got Malkus in Beis Din, it wasn't really in Beis Din. And therefore, Lev and Yehuda, it's Kasher Zaman velo Kasher Asa.
And the Misa is a and therefore, Misa?
Yeah, because Misa was, he's dead. And you know, the Misa is not carried out.
It followed the proper court procedure.
It did.
Based on a farce.
It followed the proper court procedure. The difference is that Malkus, the punishment gets carried out in court. Misa, the punishment. Not talking about I'm not talking about the verdict. You're talking about the verdict. He's talking about the punishment.
It's not physically in court, but Reb Chaim
is talking about the punishment. Reb Chaim says the punishment is not a Beis Din punishment.
Makes sense, because Mama was, you don't have to, you know, if I owe somebody money, I owe somebody money, whether it's Beis Din.
Right.
But Misa, there's no extrajudicial Misa that the halacha recognizes. Reb Chaim is recognizing it.
You're disagreeing with Reb Chaim. You're right. I'm not saying you're right. Your point is a different. Reb Chaim saying, Malkus punishment is in context of Beis Din, Misa is not in context of Beis Din. It's a marvelous Reb Chaim.
If I'm Mechalel Shabbos,
Chas V'Shalom.
If one is Mechalel Shabbos,
there you go, much better.
And he goes.
Well, you're a doctor. You were driving to the accident.
And he goes, jumps off the roof. And kills himself.
Hashem Yachid.
And that person jumps off the roof.
Yeah.
Because all right, Chal Shabbos kill myself.
No, but it's got to be Adam. If there was Adam first, and they went to Beis Din and they said Yechayv Misa.
Okay, Yechayv Misa. He goes home and kills himself.
He doesn't go home. Instead of
if this is, I'm giving you the scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell me, he's carried out the punishment of Beis Din.
Yeah. Yes.
I have a hard time believing.
That's what it sounds like according to Chaim. And if he's given a Malkus,
Reb Akiva Eger
Reb Akiva Eger said it comes out.
If you go when you kill yourself, you haven't done anything.
Because there was no verdict yet.
You see?
There was no verdict in that case.
My question is, who's this Tony guy?
We stay away from him.
No, seriously, how does this Tony get to beat up this guy?
No, because Beis Din gave him the Malkus. But it was an improper ruling.
It's considered like it was Tony.
It would be like, I love my sports marshals, but it would be like getting a touchdown, but then the replay official reverse it. Doesn't count in the statistics. I was in the end zone.
Right.
No. Replay official says no.
You weren't then.
Right. But if the replay official saw the guy get killed, and the replay officials came back, guess what? He's still dead.
Right.
garnished, tight, not coming back. Not even a comeback player of the year. Okay, little hashkafa to end this. Thank God for the replay, well, it's made us like understand so much of Shas. This is the only one that I saw that it, yeah.
Another one about that by Edom's own ones, they're not punished for what they did. That they get a, they get a status of Edom's Omen. Once they achieve the status of Edom's Omen, then the Kasher Zomrom king. That's not really a punishment.
I never saw it. Could be. I never saw it. You find it. You send it to me. Next week's year. A couple things. Okay, if there's no punishment given to you, what's the reason for this halacha? So the Rambam, let's go through a different, I'm going to skip the Rambam and the Meiri. You don't have time for that today, about what the status is. That's interesting. Ha'ara, but we're not going to do that. Okay, so the Ramban says, Ramban ala Torah, says, and again, we're not going to go through all these inside, but why is it that we don't punish the Edom Zomim that's successful? The Ramban says there's too much hashkacha. Hashem would never allow an innocent man to die like this. Must be the Nidon did something wrong, like the Kesef Mishnah said. Also, Hashem wouldn't allow the judges to falsely put somebody to death. So it's got to be a lot of factors it's happening, and it wouldn't happen. The Ramban al Torah. It's a beautiful Ramban al Torah, and every seminary girl learns it. So I thought it's important for us to know. Rabbeinu Bechai says it's a technical reason. He says, look. When Reuven's alive, we have a 3-on-2. But if the Nidon is already killed, then the din becomes treu trei. Who says, why should we necessarily believe Yisachar and Zvulun, who messed up Levi and Yehuda? Meaning if Reuven's alive, Reuven joins the team of Yisachar and Zvulun, and they say Levi and Yehuda with us in Chicago. So Levi and Yehuda are 2-on-3. Again, that's hard to understand because we say Trey Kameya. There's a lot of cash of this. But this is a bit of a chaisis.
They eat him come, and he doesn't deny it. And
doesn't matter.
They still get off.
Right, doesn't matter. So a bit of a chaisis hard. Third answer I saw is there's too much retribution. People can bring Zomen after the case. Could you imagine if Adam Zomen applied after Reuven was killed? So I don't like... I'm all furious, right?
Right.
They say Reuven killed Shimon, and Reuven gets put to death. So now Reuven's relative is like, I'm going to get Levi and Yehuda. All he's got to do is, for the next 100 years, all they got to do is bring somebody to kill Levi and Yehuda by saying, you know what, they were with us in Chicago. How could they have known? So, it's not worth, the retribution factor would be enormous. Once they're dead, the case is over. That's it. Nothing to talk about. I think that's a good answer. Again, what do I know? They're beautiful. The Meiri says, like the Kesef Mishnah, the Edom don't deserve Kapara. And the fifth one is another Meiri. He says there's something called the covet of Beis Din. If we kill the Zomen, people say Beis Din kills people flippantly.
Right.
Oh, we'll kill them today, tomorrow, and then you know what? The next day we'll kill somebody else. Forget it. Yeah. We're going to open up a Pandora's box of murderers.
Deploy to Malchus and Mammon as well,
though. It wouldn't deploy. Not to Mammon.
Just flogging people for no
reason. Yeah, why not? Nobody's dying. Then you say Malik Telepag. Then you say he's far of Malik Telepag, Malik Telepag. You know, Kula. That would be interesting. Anyway, so that's the 5 hashkafic reasons. So we learned today the sugya of kasher asa, velo kasher, kasher zama velo kasher asa, some hashkafic things at the end, but a very beautiful sugya. I'll do one last thing. You know, the shaila is, are the Edom possible? What happens to the Edom? Let's say Levi and Yehuda come and Reuven is killed. And then all of a sudden Yisachar will say, Levi and Yehuda, they're in Chicago, whoops. So we don't punish Levi and Yehuda, we know that. But could Levi and Yehuda testify ever again? Good shaila, right?
Good one, yeah.
The Rambam says they're puzzle. Huh? The Meiri says, I don't know.
Maybe
I don't know.
Saw it the second time and did something right.
Yeah, who knows? So there's a shaila. Very tricky. You could go back into the svar as to what's the reason for Edom Zomim. If you say it's because we don't want, because the retribution factor, then why would they be puzzle? But if you say all the other four reasons, then it makes sense why they would be puzzle. Okay. Everybody have a wonderful Sunday. Enjoy your donuts. Enjoy whatever you got going on today.